أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت
It is a great favor of Allah the Almighty upon us that He has blessed us by enabling us to accept the Imam of the time, the promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him. Whenever and whichever matter we require guidance regarding, whenever we need to come to understand any matter, when we need to truly ascertain and search out the pearls of wisdom of the Holy Quran, then we have the literature, writings, and statements of the Chosen One of Allah the Almighty before us, which solve all these problems, issues, and quandaries. The verses that I recited are regularly recited in the second rakat of the Friday prayers. This is from Surah Al-Ghashiyah. The first verse that I recited is أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبْلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. That do they not then look at the camel, how it is created? The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has explained this in its profound depth, in its excellence and exquisiteness, and in its spiritual insight and deep knowledge, and the manner in which it is based on one's practical state and condition. It depicts and explains an altogether unique, distinct, and wondrous commentary. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has solved the issue of Nubuwwat, prophethood, and Imamat, leadership, through this verse. The basic principle to connect with Nubuwwat and Imamat is absolute and unwavering obedience and submission. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has connected this with the Arabic word Ibl, or camels, and explained it in the context of this. Now, on the surface, this appears to be a seemingly strange explanation, because Nubuwwat and Imamah do not appear to have any link with camels. However, the manner in which the promised Messiah alayhi salam has elucidated this most clearly confers us with also astonishing insight. I will first present the promised Messiah alayhi salam's commentary in this regard, who says, in the Holy Quran, the verse أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبْلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ is mentioned. This verse provides great assistance in solving the issue of Nubuwwat, prophethood, and Imamat. In the Arabic language, the camel has been given a huge number of names. So what is the secret of why Ibl has been chosen to describe camel? Ilal Jamal could also have been utilized, for Jamal is also used for camel. The promised Messiah says, the fact of the matter is, Jamal is to describe one camel. Ibl is the plural. Thus, Allah the Almighty was aiming to indicate and depict the social and communal life. In this respect, the Arabic word Jamal would not do justice to this, and therefore the word Ibl has been preferred. Camels display the trait of following one another and of being obedient. Look at how the camels form a long line. The camels walk behind one another in a specific orderly manner and at a consistent pace. The camel who is at the front of the line as the leader and guide is the most experienced and familiar with the route. All the camels follow each other at equal pace. None of the camels aspire or covet being in the same position as the lead camel. Whereas this feeling is found in other animals such as horses and others. As such, in the nature of camels, obedience to the leader is an accepted principle. It is for this reason that Allah the Almighty has said أَفَلَا يُنْظَرُونَ إِلَىٰ إِبْلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ has indicated towards this communal state. The camels walk together exactly in one line. In the same way, it is necessary to maintain a communal and social state of unity to have one Imam. So, we should first of all remember that in order to maintain a social and communal state of unity, there should be one leader. The promised Messiah then says, it should be further remembered that this orderly line is formed during journeys. So to traverse the journey of life, until there is one leader, man constantly goes astray and becomes ruined and gets destroyed. So thus, in the journey of life, it is essential to have one leader who provides regular guidance. Then, it is said that the camel holds a heavier burden and can travel longer distances. This gives us the lesson of patience and endurance. Another trait of the camel is that in long journeys are able to store water for many days and is not unmindful of this. So therefore a mu'min, a believer, should similarly be ever ready for his journey and be prepared and mindful for it. The best means for this is taqwa. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, the word unzar tells us that this is not the same as looking at it like children. In fact, it gives us the lesson of obedience, that just as the camel has been used to depict the social and communal life of unity, because they display the special trait of obedience to the leader, it is similarly necessary for man that he adopts following the leader as his guiding principle. Because even camels, who are helpers of humans, display this particular characteristic and quality. In كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ is an indication towards this encompassing benefit, which are found in camels. So when in this era, Allah the Almighty, in accordance with His promises and the prophecies of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, sent the promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi, on whom be peace. And Allah the Almighty has enabled us to accept him and blessed us with the continuing institution of Khilafat after him. We thus need to appreciate and respect this establishment of Khilafat. We need to understand the spirit of the system of Khilafat. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, said, the essence of which is that there will be people after me who in my name will take the bet, the covenant of allegiance of the members of the community. This means that Khilafat, in subordination of the promised Messiah and in his name, will take the bet of the people. Now when the bet is being taken in the name of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, so then the bet of the Khalifatul Masih and obedience are linked and interconnected with the promised Messiah on whom be peace. So in the extract I read out, the promised Messiah on whom be peace has connected Nabuwwat and Imamat with the qualities and attributes of Ibil, of camels. This explicitly infers and means that after the promised Messiah on whom be peace, to attach with the ongoing institution of Khilafat is the guarantor and the means of the spiritual enhancement, progress and life and sustenance for those who come into the bed, the covenant of allegiance of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. The progress of the Jamaat rests completely on remaining attached to the institution of Khilafat. Khilafat alone will provide the means of being saved from the assaults of Satan. The Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, the Imam is your shield. Only if you remain behind this shield will you be protected and safeguarded. To remain behind the shield means that you display absolute obedience. You should tread upon your line and in that orderly row which has been prescribed for you. If you deviate from this to the smallest degree, you are at risk of going astray and becoming lost. Then the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's statement should be remembered in terms of obedience. وَمَنْ أَتَاءَ أَمِيرِي فَقَدْ أَتَاءَنِي وَمَنْ أَسَاءَ أَمِيرِي فَقَدْ أَسَاءَنِي. He who obeys my Amir obeys me. He who disobeys my Amir disobeys me. There are numerous other statements of the Holy Prophet regarding obeying the Amir. There are similarly scores of instances in the Holy Quran where obedience and submission have been enjoined. This is because this is that secret for the progress of the community. It is necessary for each and every single person to understand this who is associated with the Jamaat. So thus, it is extremely vital and critical for the members of the Jamaat to understand this. This is particularly true in the current times, when people sometimes express wrong views and thoughts in the name of freedom. That why are certain restrictions placed upon us? Why do we not have freedom in certain issues and matters? An Ahmadi Muslim needs to remember that Islam has provided each and every single appropriate freedom to its followers. Further, the amount of freedoms Islam has given will be hard to find in any other religion. Indeed, they cannot be found at all. In terms of certain boundaries that have been set, they are for the moral reformation of man, for his spiritual enhancement, and for the unity of the community and its progress. To remain within these prescribed limits is essential. At this juncture, I will also say to the office bearers that if you want to be helpers in the progress of the community and your positions of office have not been ascertained merely for self-projection, superiority, or to satisfy your egos, then first and foremost, the office bearers need to understand the subject of obedience. This applies to office bearers at every single level. If office bearers would come to understand this subject, then members of the community would automatically give heed towards it also. We will see then examples of obedience being displayed at every single level. By following the example of the camels who follow one orderly line, we will observe members of the Jamaat advancing forward in unison, standing shoulder by shoulder, following the Imam. So thus the Amirs, the Sadrs, and other office bearers also must first take stock and assess their own selves. Are their standards of obedience as such that they comply and obey every single instruction from the Khalif to Masih without any grievances, complaint, or objection? Or is it the case that they try to reinterpret or provide their own explanations to the instructions that are given by the Khalif to Masih? If they try to interpret the instructions in their own way, this is not obedience. We find an account in the traditions from the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, was walking in an alleyway when he heard a voice call out, "Sit down." He sat down immediately. Hearing this call, he did not think that the instruction was for those within the mosque. Rather, as soon as he heard this voice, he sat down. Whilst in this seated position, with great difficulty, he started crawling towards the mosque. Someone asked Abdullah bin Mas'ud that what has happened to you, that you are dragging yourself and crawling along in this manner. He replied that I heard the voice of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from within saying to sit down, and thus I did so. The person asking this said that the instruction was for those within the mosque, to which Abdullah bin Mas'ud responded that, "I am not concerned by whether it was for those outside or inside or for everyone. I heard the voice of the Messenger of Allah and I obeyed immediately. That is all I am concerned about." So these are the standards of obedience which we must strive to adopt. Some office holders, when they receive instructions from the Khalifatul Masih, do comply with them, but with great restraint and reservation. To act upon something grudgingly and without really wanting to do it is not obedience at all. Obedience truly entails that which is acted upon immediately. To have your personal view or opinion is nothing wrong at all. But when the Khalifatul Masih makes his decision about any matter, to act in such and such manner, then it is absolutely vital that one completely forgets his personal view and opinion. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib would say that in some matters and issues, I hold my personal viewpoints. I present my opinion to Khalifatul Masih with supporting arguments. If my opinion is rejected, then I never even harbor the thought for a moment why my opinion was rejected, nor do I ponder upon that thought. Instead, I transform my opinion into the opinion of Khalifatul Masih, and with complete and absolute obedience, I begin to act upon the instruction made by Khalifatul Masih. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says that you should present yourself in the hands of the Imam after accepting a death, just as someone who is dead cannot move around, and the one who is washing his body is the one who is able to move the dead person. Similarly, it is the duty of one who obeys completely and perfectly to absolutely give himself up in the hands of the Imam. When this standard is reached, it is only then will you be truly fulfilling the covenant of allegiance, the bayat. It is only then that you will be reaching those standards that have been enjoined to us by Allah and His Messenger. So every single one of us who has taken the covenant of allegiance should not only develop their thought in this manner, but they would also have to testify to it through their practical actions. You would have to establish your examples for the newcomers and also for your children and future generations. The elders also need to display their own examples for the youth. The elders need to become role models so that the young people can emulate them and learn from them. This standard, most of all, from top to bottom, should be demonstrated by every single office holder. There is a thought and question which often arises in some people's minds. If it is true, according to the reports I have received, that such a question is asked, the question that is raised is that absolute obedience is harmful and damaging. Perhaps the reason people think in this manner and believe that complete obedience and submission is harmful is because here in Germany, Hitler had every one of his commands fulfilled. He was a dictator. And this is why there is a theory that in the Second World War, Germany suffered defeat. They had to bear a lot of damage as well as humiliation. Here I will say clearly to every single Ahmadi, to every new Ahmadi, and to every youth that there is a huge difference between Khilafat and Imamat and dictatorship. Khilafat has been established after believing in the Imam of the time. It was established in accordance with the promises of Allah the Almighty, every believer in Khilafat pledges that they will uphold and continue the system and institution of Khilafat. There is no compulsion in the matters of the faith. When one has happily and with his own will come to believe and accept the faith, then for the establishment of the faith, it is also necessary to fulfill that pledge that an Ahmadi makes to uphold the institution of Khilafat. This is essential and necessary for the unity of the community. The pledge of obeying Khilafat needs to be fulfilled for the reason that by following one single Imam, we can make a combined and united effort to establish the sovereignty, authority and governance of Allah the Almighty in the hearts of the people in the entire world. Other Muslims are devoid of an Imam. The efforts of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat are being done in connection and association with Khilafat. So the results and the outcome of all the efforts that have been carried out by the Jamaat in conjunction with Khilafat inform and tell us that all the successes that we are achieving are as a result of being connected and linked with Khilafat, and thus we are unable to present the true teachings of Islam, whereas other Muslims do have the teachings of Islam but are devoid of this. Another objective of Khilafat is to give and inculcate full attention towards Huququl Abad, the rights owed to mankind. It is to inculcate and to establish these rights and through a combined and united effort to endeavor to fulfill them. It is to create a passionate spirit amongst the members of the Jamaat to always give precedence to their faith over worldly matters. It is to draw the attention of the members of the community that you must most certainly always give precedence to your faith over worldly matters. In this lies your sustenance and life, and the sustenance and life of your progeny. To infuse this spirit in the members is the task of Khilafat. To make full efforts to establish Tawheed, the unity of Allah, is also the work of Khilafat. Worldly leaders only have worldly objectives. They are only concerned about increasing their territories and worldly borders. This is their main objective. They aim to subjugate other people. Observe in the world today that nations go beyond their borders and are trying to subjugate and capture other countries. This is true whether it is a democracy or a dictatorship, for this is all that worldly people give regard to. Their way is to shatter justice completely for the sake of their false sense of pride and honor. We observe this in the Muslim world and also in the rest of the world. Where is the dictator who has any personal connection with his subjects or followers? The Khalifa of the time has a personal connection with Ahmadis all over the world from every country and from every nation. I receive personal letters where people relate their personal issues, matters and problems. If we were to just take these personal letters that I receive daily, then they are something which people of the world simply cannot believe or imagine. It is the Khalifa of the time alone who extends regard, attention and concern for the pain and suffering of every single Ahmadi in the world. The Khalifa of the time prays for each and every single Ahmadi. Where can we find any worldly leader who also prays for the sick and those who are ill? Where is there any such leader who is ever restless and anxious for the marriages to be completed of the daughters of his people and constantly prays for them? Who is the leader who is deeply anxious for the education of the children? The government may indeed open educational and health institutes and provide education. However, it is only the Khalifa of Ahmadiyyat and the Khalifa of the time who is ever concerned for the education of the children all over the world. It is the members of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community who are fortunate, for whom the Khalifa of the time is ever concerned and worried that they should receive education. He is ever concerned for their health and well-being. In terms of issue of matrimonial affairs, he is ever concerned. In short, any issue or matter relating to any Ahmadi anywhere in the world, whether it is personal or a matter of the Jamaat, there is no issue which the Khalifa of the time is not always concerned for, and for which the Khalifa of the time, apart from his practical efforts, does not submit to Allah the Almighty in prayers for. There is no such issue where the Khalifa of the time does not prostrate to God in prayer regarding. Me and the Khulafa before me have always acted exactly in the same manner. I have painted this picture of the innumerable works and tasks that Allah the Almighty has entrusted to the Khalifatul Masih, and which He will fulfill. There is no country in the world where before sleeping at night, I do not reach in my imagination and thoughts. There is no country in the world where, whilst waking or sleeping, that I do not constantly pray for. I am not mentioning all of this because it is any favor on my part. Indeed, it is my duty and obligation. May Allah the Almighty enable for me to fulfill my responsibilities to an even greater degree. The point I am simply trying to make is that it is impossible to compare Khilafat and worldly and secular leaders. This is plainly wrong. Sometimes, while it's in discussion with worldly leaders, I mention just my daily letters, both personal and official, that I read over. They are astonished how this could be possible. And so thus, there is no question at all of any comparisons. I should also remove the misunderstandings that some people fall into, although I previously explained this in detail in connection to the conditions of birth that I mentioned in one of my Friday sermons. That every single Ahmadi pledges to act upon every ma'ruf decision of the Khalifa. Some people assume that they have to make their own definitions of what ma'ruf means. It should be completely clear upon them that the definition of ma'ruf has been made by Allah and His Messenger already. Ma'ruf has been predefined. A ma'ruf verdict or decision is that which is in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnat, that is the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's practice. Now the Khilafat that was destined to be established ala minhaji nabuwa, on the precepts of prophethood, in accordance with the prophecy of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and will follow the way that prophethood has already established. Further, in accordance with the statement of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, this Khilafat is everlasting in order to further and advance his mission. So it is absolutely impossible that such a Khilafat could ever act in contradiction or against the Quran and Sunnah. And this is precisely what Ma'ruf is meant here. So thus, there is no other path for anyone else apart from obedience. Or else, Those who disagree with the Quran and Sunnah should prove how such and such decision of the Khalifa or act goes against the Quran and Sunnah. I should mention here also that the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said further that the decisions, acts and practices of the Khulafa'i Rashideen, the rightly ordered Khulafa, are necessary to follow and you must emulate them. So thus, if you want to try and prove that the decisions of the Khalifa are wrong, you would have to think a huge amount of things. Whilst remaining in the Jamaat, if you want to express any opinion and view, then remaining in the boundaries of respect, you would have to write to the Khalifa of the time. It is permitted to do so. What is disallowed is to gossip, indulge in idle talk, or to spread rumors or hearsay. It is necessary to write to the Khalifa of the time because the person may have misunderstood the issue himself, and thus the Khalifa of the time can alleviate his misgiving. And if he deems it necessary, he can mention this mistake before the members of the Jamaat and inform them all. As the Jamaat grows, then so does the desire of the hypocrites to expand their schemes and designs. There are similarly jealous people who want to further their vested interests. True loyalty and devotion to Khilafat entails that we should reject and cause to fail their schemes and ploys at every single level. We should not let people who spread ill thoughts about the Khalifa to even come near to us. There is an account of Hazrat Maulvi Sher Ali Sahib, who was travelling to London to translate the Holy Quran into English. He perhaps was departing from Bombay. When he arrived there, it was Friday, Jummah. The Jamaat there requested him that as today is Jummah, you should lead the Jummah prayers, the Friday prayer. Considering that he had come from Qadian, he was an elder, he was a companion, and that they could benefit from him. Neither did the Jamaat there know him personally, nor was he acquainted with any of them. Hazrat Maulvi Sher Ali delivered his Friday sermon and said, "Look, you do not know me. Some of you have never even seen me before. Yet you have asked me to stand up and deliver the Friday prayer, and you have made me your Imam today." Islamic teachings tell us that if the Imam commits a mistake whilst leading the prayer, then you should say Subhanallah. If the Imam corrects his mistake after you say Subhanallah, then well and good. But if he does not correct his error and continues his prostrations and acts in the same way, then it is your duty to show complete obedience and follow his prostrations. You have no right whatsoever to change the way you are offering your prayer to your own will. That is to say, you must sit down, stand up, kneel and prostrate in exactly the same manner as the Imam. Later on, he says, "When in temporary imamate, this is the strict standard of obedience demanded and required. Then just imagine how extremely important and vital it is, and the standard of obedience that is required after coming into the bed of the Khalifa of the time, that you make voluntarily and of your own volition. You have made this bed with your own free will. So remember that in order to fulfill the covenant of allegiance, obedience is of utmost importance. The promised Messiah on whom be peace has said, obedience is something that if it is truly and sincerely acted upon, it develops a nur, a spiritual light in the heart, and it illuminates and delights the soul. Efforts are not required anywhere near as much. Efforts are not required anywhere near as much as compared to how essential obedience is. Indeed, the condition is that there should be true and sincere obedience. And this is what is most difficult. To truly obey, you must slaughter your selfish egos and desires. Without this, obedience is completely impossible. Selfish egos and desires are something which can even start to sprout in the biggest muwahids, believers in the one God. That is to say, even those who staunchly believe in the Tawheed, the oneness of God, can sometimes deviate and therefore form their own idols. The promised Messiah on whom be peace says, no nation can truly be called a nation, and the spirit of unity is not infused within them unless they firmly act upon the principle of obedience and submission. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, eliminate the differences of opinions. Eliminate the differences of opinions and obey that which Allah the Almighty has commanded. Then you will see that you will succeed in whatever task you aim for. Allah the Almighty's hand is over the community. This indeed is the secret. Allah the Almighty likes Tawheed. This unity cannot be established unless obedience is adopted. We see in the history of Islam that the Sahaba, the companions of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, displayed absolute and complete obedience, and therefore did not fear at all or hesitate to even sacrifice their own lives. And so within just a few years, Islam was spread, and this was because of their obedience. This does not mean at all that Islam was spread due to wars and battles. Rather, what this means is that they preached, and if they had to face battles and wars along the way, then the strength and numbers and attacks of the enemies could not hold them back in their mission. They had the spirit of obedience, and thus whenever needed to confront the enemy, they stood up. In contrast, we see that the followers of Hazrat Moses, peace be upon him, disobeyed, and for 40 years they deprived themselves of the blessings. So if you want to truly progress, then the jihad of this era is the jihad of your tarbiyat, your moral reformation and training. It is further the jihad which is the jihad through preaching, tabligh. It is by obeying and following the Khalifa of the time and abiding by his directives. We would have to act upon them in exactly the same manner, the example of which the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, on whom be peace, has given through the ibl, the camels. We need to make obedience second nature to us. Certainly, we need to give obedience to the Imam, precedence over all else. In light of the commentary of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, I will now further this discourse. To be saved from destruction and ruin, and to avoid being misguided and going astray, you need to elevate the standard of your obedience to the highest possible level. Only by attaching with Khilafat and displaying patience can difficulties be successfully faced. This is what the promised Messiah alayhi salam has said, that only through patience and attaching with Khilafat can one steer through difficulties and problems. However much the opponents of Ahmadiyyat suppress us, however much in their own presumptions and ways they will try to suppress us and place us in difficulties, and however much they make an effort, they make every last effort to eliminate us, Allah the Almighty will, despite all of this, will continue to take us to our destination and objective. However, the condition is there should be obedience, and perfect and complete obedience. Today we observe that other Muslims may believe in the Quran and Sunnah and claim to follow and act upon it, as I have said before. However, we do not find patience and tolerance among them. What else do they do apart from blemish and defame the name of Islam? And so today, it is the hallmark of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community alone that they have demonstrated such examples of patience and tolerance, which are really enviable. They are showing such examples of enduring hardships and difficulties, the like of which we find in the period of the first and earliest Muslims. The subject of وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ becomes completely manifest in this era through these examples that are being said. Further, the promised Messiah on whom be peace has said that camels store water for their journey. They are not unmindful of the fact that in times of need, how they will fulfill their requirement of water. They store water so that it can be useful when they need it. The promised Messiah alayhi salam then says that mu'mins, believers, should always be ever ready and vigilant and careful regarding their journey. How can this preparation and vigilance be accounted for? It is through having the right provisions. Mu'mins, believers, as I have said earlier, are like journeymen in this life. The best provision for a believer is taqwa. So therefore you need to give that character, qualities and attributes to your actions and worship, which can prove to be the best form of provisions for us. By following and accepting the Imam of this time, the spiritual water has been made available to us. To store and take care of the spiritual water and to benefit from it is now our task and duty. Every single Ahmadi needs to also understand this reality. How fortunate are those people who display complete and perfect obedience and listen and act upon the words of the Khalifa of the time. It is precisely these aspects that makes one unable to benefit from the blessings of Khilafat. In the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty has mentioned that those will truly benefit and bless from the reward of Khilafat who do amle saliha, righteous deeds, those who worship, and those who uphold and establish Tawheed, the unity of Allah. And it is these very people who are deemed to be those who tread upon the path of taqwa. So therefore, when we keep all of these things in view, how can we possibly say that Khilafat ever has any worldly objectives? Or that there are any worldly objectives from the Khalifa like other people of the world? People who try to obtain worldly objectives have no link at all with spirituality. Despite all the worldly means, resources and provisions, they often fail and are unsuccessful in their aims. Their worldly objectives are not always fulfilled, for that can only be possible when they have ultimate victory and triumph, which they do not obtain. Whereas the purpose of those who seek to obtain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty and who tread upon the path of taqwa has no relationship whatsoever with worldly gain, loss, victory and failure. Instead, they display complete obedience and try to obtain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty and enhance in their taqwa. Our objective is to establish the governance and sovereignty of Allah the Almighty in the entire world, and not any personal gain. It is to raise aloft the flag of Tawheed. It is to win the hearts of all mankind and to unite them under the banner of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our preaching programs and other programs are to further this very aim. And it is to achieve this that we do and should focus our prayers. So thus, Khilafat is carrying out its duties to further these objectives. But as I said, in order to achieve this, it is essential to understand the spirit of what exactly Khilafat is. This can only be understood when firm and strong belief is fostered into absolute complete obedience to Khilafat. A person may consider himself a great scholar, philosopher, or orator, but if he is devoid of the spirit of obedience, then neither does he have any room in the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, and nor will his knowledge or intellect give him any spiritual benefit to the world. We should always remember this phrase of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, that it is essential for man that he makes obedience to the Imam his golden principle. So thus, when absolute obedience to the Khalifa of the time is adopted, when every guidance and directive from the Khalifa of the time is acted upon, and you desist from giving interpretations and explanations to each directive, then your knowledge and your intellect will become fruitful for you, and you will obtain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. On the basis of the commentary of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, when we cast a glance upon the other verses of the Quran that I recited, then this issue becomes even clearer, that a person can only reach the loftiest spiritual heights when he understands the subject of Ati'ullaha wa Ati'ur Rasulah wa Ulil Amri Minkum, that obey Allah and obey His Messenger and those who are in authority among you. As I have mentioned, when office bearers come to understand the subject of those in authority among you, they are undeserving of making others obedient to them, until they themselves display absolute and perfect obedience to the Khalifa of the time, and desist from giving their own interpretations to the Khalifa's directives. And instead, they deem every single guidance from the Khalifa of the time necessary to act upon. Sometimes there are some matters which are sent for investigation. And in such instances, the office bearers first try to find out who made the complaint, instead of looking into whether the matter being reported is true or false. If the investigation is true, then first it should be solved, and the shortcoming should be fulfilled. If it is wrong, then a report should be given that this is incorrect, and the person has been mistaken. But what happens is that the investigation takes place after, but first they try to find out who made the complaint. Office bearers should have no concern for this whatsoever in terms of who made the complaint and reported this. It is your responsibility that when a report is sent, you should investigate and report back. As I have mentioned, we do not fully understand a directive of the Khalifa of the time. Instead of trying to give your own interpretations and explanations to that directive, you should write to me and inquire further guidance and explanation from me to find out the true explanation and meaning. It is similarly necessary for every member of the Jamaat to show complete and perfect obedience. When every single person will display complete obedience, then inshallah we will march towards the loftiest spiritual heights. And this is the meaning of this verse. So Allah the Almighty says that when you reach the loftiest spiritual heights, then your faith will be so strong like mountains which are entrenched in the ground. And the outcome and result of reaching these spiritual loftiest heights is that you'll be able to successfully spread the message of Islam in the world. You will inshallah prosper and progress both in the East and the West. You will gain victory in Europe and also Asia, in the US and also Africa. The flag of true Islam will be entrenched in Australia and also even the islands. With reference to the spreading of Islam, there is another thing that I would like to say. After hearing the criticism of a person which I have heard here, that some of you become a little concerned and perturbed regarding something that Hadhrat Musleh Maud has said, that if Germany is won over, then all of Europe will be won over. There was a banner with this phrase that was placed here in the Jalsa. Someone saw this and raised an objection, that you have come here to conquer Germany. He said that on the surface you raise a slogan of love and compassion, but in truth you have extremely dangerous motives. and intentions. This is a misunderstanding of the person who said this, or this is either because of his lack of understanding and knowledge, or it is being mischievous. If this is mischievous, it is extremely dangerous that just as attempts are made to instigate people against Muslims, they are trying to instigate people against the Jamaat. It is also a lack of knowledge on the part who is advising and explaining to him, and it is needless worry and concern, as he thought that goodness knows what would happen as a result of this. Generally speaking, the local German people who live here are wise and understanding. They know that the Jamaat missionary work that it is carrying out all over the world, and its work for Khidmat-e Khalq, serving humanity, and its preaching of Islam are all because they desire to convey the beautiful teachings of Islam to the world. And by doing so, they should bring them near to Islam and make them a part of it. Victory does not mean in any way, shape or form that, God forbid, we are going to wield a sword or use force or seize or capture governments. We foremost proclaim that there is no compulsion in matters of the faith. Religion is a matter of every person's heart and will. So there is no need to be concerned at all about this. As I said, we are preaching all over the world, not just in Germany or Europe, but inshallah we are going to win over the entire world. However, we will not do so with the sword or by force, but by winning people's hearts, by presenting the beautiful teachings of Islam, and by convincing people from the heart. If Hazrat Muslim Maud has made this statement, then he is actually praising a great trait of the governed people. He said this during a dinner with a new Ahmadi. At the time, there was a new Ahmadi who came there, and he said Europe's leaders are German. So here he is actually praising a trait, that the leaders of Europe who are German have leadership qualities. So if they understand Islam, then you can consider that they will explain it to the rest of Europe, and Europe will accept what they say. Hazrat Muslim Maud's statement is completely true. Today proves. Today you can see that in the European Union, it is a German leadership which is showing the best leadership qualities when we look all around. Now there is no question of the force or sword being wielded, nor of any compulsion, but rather the teachings of love and peace in Islam and of establishing a connection with Allah the Almighty are all entailed within this. And what is being said is how to convince people of these teachings. Day before yesterday in Wiesbaden, there was a foundation stone laying ceremony. There were more than 400 local German guests who were also in attendance. I briefly, with reference to the teachings of Islam, spoke to them. Each and every single one of them remarked that this message is the voice of all of our hearts. We have been given the opportunity today to truly understand Islam. So therefore, we should remember that whilst beseeching help for Allah the Almighty, if we continue our tasks and endeavors with purity and sincerity, then people from among them or their future progeny will accept Islam and enter it. He who Allah the Almighty wills will be enabled to accept it. So therefore, there is no need to be afraid or worried or hesitant, or nor is there a need to be defensive. Nor is there a need to give any response which is filled with fear. Our objective is not to obtain any worldly government at all, nor do we need this. To instill the love of Allah the Almighty in the hearts of people and make them submit to God is our mission, and inshallah, God willing, we will continue to do this. So therefore, in order to fulfill this mission, and in order to achieve this objective and purpose, every single Ahmadi must establish complete and perfect obedience to Khilafat. May Allah the Almighty enable everyone to do so.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.